This is so good for my ego, guys. You saw my name outside and you all came tonight. I feel so good. And don't tell me the truth. I know the truth. Anyway, all right. It's that time of year again, huh? All right. Vayomer Yosef el Echav, Ani Yosef. Pasuk says, "V'layochlu echav la'anois oisoi ki nivhalu miponov." When the brothers heard he's Yosef, they couldn't answer him. They were in such shock. It's an interesting medrash. By the way, you're in charge to tell me if I go over time. You know, when 2-3 minutes before you start telling me, you know, like, something like that. Not the bang, but all right. There's an interesting medrash here. Ani Yosef. Says the medrash, Oy liyayim hadin, Oy liyayim hateichacha. What does it mean? Teichacha. Yosef didn't say anything to them. In fact, he never criticized them, never said a word. Ani Yosef. That's all he said. And yayim hadin. What Yom Adin? What's the message here of Yom Adin? What does it mean? So the idea of Teichacha is reproof. You tell somebody that he's doing something wrong. The person gets the message. Tell him, you're doing something wrong. Your whole anhag is incorrect. The brothers thought that Yosef was coming to destroy Klal Yisrael. He was out to get them. That's why they wanted to get rid of him. They're the brothers. He's out to tell on him. He's already telling his chaloymos, he's going to be the melech. He's out to put them down. So when they suddenly, he says, Ani Yosef. And it became clear all of a sudden that they were all trying to get rid of him. They were all thought that he was coming to destroy Klal Yisrael. He's there to save them. He said that to them himself. He said, Ki lemichya. Shlachani Elokeichem Elechem. He said, Hashem sent me to save you. So what better reproof, Teichacha, could there be than that? Ani Yosef. They suddenly realize he's here to save them, he's here to help them. So the number one, they realize that all of their machshavas were incorrect. They thought he was coming to destroy them. Fakert. Yosef is his whole tachlis is going to be to save them. What's the idea of the Yom HaDin? So I think there's a message here. Chazal tell us that L'Asid Lavoi, Hashem is going to begin to take Puranis from the different nations in the world. And they're going to complain, the different nations. They're going to say, hey, wait a minute. They're going to be able to see the Bribiris, that everything that's happened to Klal Yisrael at the end was all because we made it happen. The bridges and the walls and even the wars, all of it was for a tachlis to enable Klal Yisrael to be on top. So they're going to say to Hashem, what are you punishing us for? We're the tachlis, we're the purpose, we're mesovev, we caused all of the whole geula to happen. Hashem will tell them, you're right. You're right. But that wasn't your kavana. You had a different kavana entirely. And therefore, Hashem feels he has a right to take Puranis from them. See, the brothers are seeing something else. It says, not only do they realize that Yosef is not the ultimate destroyer of Klal Yisrael, they're realizing that we made it happen. We're the cause of this. We thought we were sending him down to Mitzrayim to get rid of him. We'll never see him again. And it turns out we sent him down to Mitzrayim in order to be him to the Melech and be able to save us. One of the amazing hanhagas of a Kadosh Baruch Hu is that when you sometimes try to do something against him, against his will, He takes the very action that you do against his will and he's mahapech it, and it turns out to be the very source of his will being niskayim. This is one example. The brothers are sending down to Mitzrayim for the purpose of eliminating Yosef. And it turns out to be the very action that causes Yosef to be the melech. They wanted to get rid of his chaloymais. They caused his chaloymais. Anyone know another example of this? We'll give a few. How about Moshe Rabbeinu? Paro had a dream. It's not exactly a dream. He saw his astrologers told him that there's going to be a baby born to the Jews that's going to come and save Klal Yisrael. Paro says, hey, I better get rid of this guy. So he puts him in the, right? That's what he wanted to do. He says, I'll start killing all the Jewish boys. What does that do? That causes them to put Moshe Rabbeinu in a little basket and get rid of him also to try to save him. What happens? It ends up being picked up by Paro's daughter and boom! The whole tachlis of the whole gezerah was to eliminate all the boys that would be the ultimate saviors of Klal Yisrael. That turns out to be good for that which is matzil Klal Yisrael. It creates a Moshe Rabbeinu. See it again. I'll give you a few examples of this just to prove the point. One of my favorites, this one isn't so well known, but I think Yaina is a good example of this. Yaina, why did Yaina want to run away? He got a dream that he should go to Nineveh. He wants to run away. Why does he want to run away? He doesn't want them to do tshuva. It's going to look bad for Klal Yisrael. So he runs away, jumps on a boat and tries to go. You know why Nineveh did tshuva? There's a very innocent little radak. What made them do tshuva? The radak says that when Yaina came out from the whale and he found himself walking around, he was walking around in Nineveh. And the sailors were on the boat and said, my gosh, that's the guy. That's the guy who threw him overboard. He should be dead. What's he doing here? They had a hisaris and they told everybody what happened and boom, all of a sudden Nineveh did tshuva. So Yaina thought, I'm going to run away. I'm going to go on a boat and I'm going to go against Hashem's Ratzon. And what does the Kodesh Baruch Hu do? The very act that he used to go against Hashem's Ratzon, he's ma'apech Hashem. And it turns out to be the very thing that causes Nineveh to do tshuva. I can fast forward this so many ways, even in modern times. And I don't think I'm going on a limb too much to say this. I mean, you know, Hitler, the Nazis, thought they were going to destroy the Jewish people. Absolutely destroy everything about them, every vestige. And I think, well, this has nothing to do with Zionism. It's a fact. I mean, Eretz Yisrael, I think there's more Torah right now being learned in the Mir Yeshiva than there was in the entire Lita before the war. Before the war, maybe, you can come up with probably 2,500 Talmidim before the war in Lita. Today in the Mir Yeshiva, there are 7,000 Talmidim. There's more Torah, more Yiddishkeit than ever was before. The Nazis thought they were going to destroy, and that Holocaust led to an Eretz Yisrael. V'chule, v'chule, v'chule. So this is, number one, an important insight here. That sometimes things look like they're going the other way. And they end up spinning around and turning out to be exactly the opposite. Exactly what Hashem wants. Now, with Yosef himself, there's something very interesting here himself. Yosef, we always say Yosef HaTzadik. The Pashup shot, people will point to Yosef HaTzadik as his Tzidkus with Eishes Potifar. He resisted his taivas. That undoubtedly shows Tzidkus. But there's something much deeper in Yosef. Chazal tell us that when Yosef was in the jail, he was thrown into a jail. He was matzliach with everything he did. So says the psukim. Chazal and the Medrash tell us something very interesting. Before he did anything, any action that required any kind of siyata d'shemaya, he said a tefillah. Atah patroni, atah bichoni, you're my bitochen, you're my patroni, I guess the patron, you watch over me. He said, help me do this, help me do that. He says, Potifar was Cheshed Yosef, that he's doing incantations, lechashim. He's doing, what are you saying there? What are you doing? He said, don't worry about it. No, nothing, don't worry. And he made sure, before everything he did, that he said a tefillah. He had an incredible bitachon, incredible trust in Hashem, incredible trust in the Kaddish Baruch Hu, that he was going to save him, that he was going to take care of him. Everything is right. I don't know why I'm sitting in a bar for 22 years, but I know one thing, that whatever I'm doing is right. This is the way it has to be. And you see it, it's amazing. You see it when Yosef eventually comes out. It's incredible. When he finally reveals himself to his brothers and he looks at them, the language that he uses is remarkable. He says, first of all, he never accuses them, never attacks them, never says to them for a minute any anger of what he did, what they did to him. Instead, he says the following. Listen to the words. Don't be upset that you sold me here. Why? Ki limichya shlachani Elokim lifnechem. Hashem sent me here. He says again, Vaishlachani Elokim lifnechem. Hashem sent me here. Vatoloyatem shlachtem oisihena ki Elokim. Hashem sent me here. Again, constantly invoking the Shem Hashem. He even says when he sends his brothers to Yaakov, Kayamar bincha Yosef samani Elokim la'adoyin l'chol Mitzrayim. He was fully aware, to the end, the last word, fully aware that Hashem is in complete control of the world and in control of everything. Not one shemitz of a taina on his brothers. I think I told you, maybe I said it here once, I'll repeat it. It's a good vart anyway. The Pasuk says, Leisikaim, someone does an avla to you. The reaction is, I'm going to get him. I want to get him back. Tyra says, Leisikim, you can't do that. Okay. All right. Okay. I can't get him back. But I'm going to hate him, right? I hate him. I'll hate his guts. You know what this guy did to me? Tyra says, Leisitor. Can't do that either. Okay. I can't hate him. But I don't have to be so good with him. What's the next words in the pasuk? Who knows? What's going on? I gotta love him too. What's the answer? What's the last two words of the pasuk? Ani Hashem. My friends, says the Kaddish Baruch Hu, it's not them. It's me. You're angry. You're not angry at them. They couldn't do this to you if it wasn't for me. Ani Hashem. I'm the source of everything. I'm the Siba for everything that happens. Nothing can happen if it isn't my Rotzen. So if you're angry at anybody, you can be angry at me. And if you really want to know what you should be angry at, it's probably yourself. Because this is happening because of some kind of payback, something that you deserve to happen for you. It has nothing to do with the brothers, nothing to do with anyone. It's all betachlis. It's all a tetzah for the good that a Kadosh Baruch Hu knows is the right thing for you. And that's what Yosef keeps stressing to the brothers. Ki Elokim shlechani aleichem. Hashem sent me here. You, I have no anger. I have no tainas. I was sent here by a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Finished. End of story. In fact, if there's any taina on Yosef, any taina, Chazal say, it was the fact that he had some reliance on Hishtadlus when he was sitting in the bar. And he goes out of character in a certain sense. He reminds the Sar HaMashkim, by the way, remind when you get to Paro, remember, say something to him about me. Chazal say there was a tain in him for that. All of a sudden, he took his eye off the ball. He had his eye on Hashem for all those years, and all of a sudden, he thought, you know, over here is where I'm going to look. That was the tain in Yosef. You know, this is the yesod that the Chovas Levavos describes the menuchas nefesh of the Baal Bitachon. It's the knowledge that I can kind of sit back. I can trust Hashem. And I don't have to worry. The truth is, the concept of daiga, of worry, it's not really a concept that a yid really should have. In fact, in every case, I asked many times Reb Dan, any time I found the word vayira, that we saw fear, some kind of expression of fear, I asked the kasha, how can you have fear? We won't go into all that now. I won't go into dashing each one. But the idea of expression of fear, you have bitachon by Hashem. Hashem is in control. You know, this week, Klal Yisrael saw Yosef. Incredible story. You all know the story. Man got out of jail 8 years. He said he was sitting in jail. He was supposed to be there for 27 years. Rav Ashkin, you know the mice. Everybody knows. He was sitting in jail, supposed to be there for 27 years. His wife used to drive around in the car, she said, with his hat and jacket in the back seat, because she had bitachon that he can get out at any time, and she's going to be ready for that moment when he gets out, that she can go and pick him up and bring him home from the jail. And she was actually in the middle of a drusha, at the end of the last day of Hanukkah. She was actually speaking to women. She was giving a drusha, Aleph, Beis, Gimel. Emuna, Aleph, Beis, Bitachon, Gimel, Geula. When her husband got just a tap, guy came and said, Mr. Rabashkin, you have 45 minutes to get out. You're free. That's how fast it happened. No inkling, no message, no anything. He was gone in 45 minutes. Exactly like that. Bairitsum in a bar. Exactly a exact mice of Yosef, Kimat Pshuto, exactly how it happened. The Sforno says there that this is also another Hanhag of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. He says, Kreva Yeshua si Lavoi, that a Kaddish Baruch Hu, Yeshua Hashem Karafayim, in a second, in a moment, a Kaddish Baruch Hu can be Mahapit anything and make it happen. Make a taitzah, make Yeshua happen in a second. It looks like it's as dark as possible. You're sitting and thinking, I got another 19 years here. And then all of a sudden, the whole picture changes. You guys like Meisim. I'll tell you a Meisim too of Bitachon. Start with a small one. I dive in here occasionally in Novartik. The Rashiva there, his name is Yitzchak Brook. His father was Ben Sion Brook. Ben Sion Brook was a well-known mashgiach. Once upon a time, he was a Talmud in yeshiva in Lithuania. And he wanted to go to yeshiva and take a train. But he had no money for the train. But he was a Baal Bitachon. And he knew that a Kaddish Baruch would help him. I heard the story from his son, who told me the Maisa, that he heard exactly as he heard it from his father. He said he went to the train to buy a ticket. It was only one problem. He had no money. Didn't have any money. He stood online and waited until he was literally the person in front, bought his ticket. He's the next person. He's about to stand there and ask to buy a ticket with no money. When he said a person came, tapped him on the shoulder and said to him, Bacharol, hast Geld? Bacher, you have money? Said he handed him cash and the guy walked on. True story. Trusted in Hashem and Hashem was there and Hashem helped him. I have a better story. Both of these are powerful. Let's see what I have time for. I'll tell you one. I'll tell you a story with Rav Yashiv, Paisik Hador. Rav Yashiv was very sick. He was in a hospital. And the doctors did their bedikas, and they discovered that he had some kind of a blood ailment. And they basically came to a conclusion that he had only a few months to live. They said that there's a procedure they could perform on him. And that procedure perhaps could save his life. But there was a very small percentage of chance that his life could be saved. An even greater percentage of chance that he could be killed. He could die from the operation. So they didn't know what to do. And no one knew how to tell him. No one knew how to tell him. He was in a bed. He was lying in a bed. He was actually learning. He was sitting in his bed. He was learning like he always did. They appointed a son-in-law. The son-in-law, he said the story by the Hespedim, Binyamin Reimer. They appointed a son-in-law to go to Rav Yashiv and tell him. He said, how do you tell your father-in-law news like that? How do you speak to him? So he came in and sat down and he asked Rav Yashiv a question. He said, what's called Chayei Shoah?
Rashi said, Chai Isha, you can't live out, can't live through a whole year. Oh, Rashi said, well, my high, what are you asking about? So he says, the doctors say that you're in a position where you can't possibly live through the year. No. Rashi said, no. So he said, they want to perform a procedure. He said, there's a 20% chance of success, but there's a 50% chance that you won't survive the operation. So Rav Yashiv told him, there's no chiyuv hishtadlus. It's too dangerous. The risk of danger is too great. It doesn't warrant taking a chance. But you're going to die. You can't live. Everything is hishtadlus. In this case, I'm not mechuyev to do anything. I'm potter. I'm potter from hishtadlus. I don't have to have an operation. I'm in the hands of Hashem. I'll be okay. They fought with him. They argued. He wouldn't listen. And they got to a point where at least they said to him that they're going to now see if they can find some other procedure. Maybe they can find some other way to save him. They got to that point. And Rav Yoshev, finally, the conversation ended. Rav Yoshev said, what time is it? He told him it's 1:30. 1:30 in the morning. By then it was late. 1:30 in the morning. Rav Yoshev says, I get up at 2 to learn. Wake me up in a half an hour. And he was asleep, said Reamer, in seconds. Put his head down, and he was asleep in seconds. Gentlemen, you've just been told that you have a few months to live. You've just been told that science doesn't have the means by which they can save your life. And you fall asleep in seconds? It's mind-boggling. That's the nuchas nefesh of a Baal Bitachon. That's a person who realizes that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is in control. There's nothing else. When you have that kind of bitachon, you can actually fall asleep when you're told it, that you have no hope. And you know what happened? The end of the story is that they found something else. If somebody was looking on that computer and they found some doctor in some faraway place who had some procedure and had some other thing. They brought him in with all his equipment, all his everything. And he performed the procedure on Yashiv, and he lived another few more years. That's a true story, gentlemen. Running out of time, huh? How do I spike it and stop the clock? Can I do that? Explain. Yeah. Okay. Okay. I'll tell you one more. This is a story, similar story, but I want to say it again because I want to bring it out. You guys are still young. Some of you guys are a little older here. You haven't lived yet. You don't know that things are going to happen in life, guys. There's a sefer from Rabbeinu Tam. Sefer Yosh from Rabbeinu Tam. He says, you got to prepare yourself, gentlemen. You got to prepare yourself. This is Rabbeinu Tam talking. Because things are going to happen in life that are going to be sometimes require you to use the keichas of bitachon. When you're living in yeshiva, you don't have it much. You don't feel it. But things in life can happen. And he says, if you're not mevusas, you're not built and not based with these kinds of yesoides, you're not going to be ready when those things happen. And you'll fall apart. The only way not to fall apart, like Rav Yashiv at 100 years old, is if you're so built through your life and understand these yesoides that you can be relaxed when you hear news like this. I'll tell you one more maisa, quick maisa. This happened, I think I can say the name already. This happened to a woman who was just recently nifter, a couple of weeks ago, cousin of mine. And you all saw the name. It was all over. Maybe you saw it, but you didn't know who it was. I'm going to keep the name quiet for a moment, but I will tell you the story. His wife had a heart condition. Similar story. Wife had a heart condition. Serious heart condition. Doctors say no hope. No hope. She has a few months to live. He took her to Toronto, went to Toronto to see a doctor in Toronto. The doctor said, I have nothing to do for her. Came back, he was there just a few hours, came back, came right back to Eretz Yisrael. Doctors came forward, the same kind of idea. Small percentage chance of success. If you don't have the operation, you're finished. That was the situation. And he also went to Rav Yashiv. Rav Yashiv told him the same thing, there's no chiv ishtadlus. And he came back to the doctors and he told them, I'm not doing anything. The doctors harangued him and told him he's crazy. You're killing your wife. it's dangerous, it's impossible, you're out of your mind. They harangued him. They had experts. They had some of the biggest people here in Eretz Yisrael. Doctors call him and phone him and told him he had to go through the operation. And he had this psak from Eliyashiv that told him don't. And he stood his ground. And he refused to perform the operation and have the operation done on his wife. He told me that he couldn't take the tension of them haranguing him like this. He couldn't take it. So he got on a plane and went to Switzerland. Went to Switzerland. Needed a break for a few days. He said he was walking on a boardwalk in Switzerland and he bumped into a man and he started talking to him. And the man tells him he's a doctor. And he starts telling him the story with his wife. And the man says, yeah, I know, I'm familiar with this. And he told my cousin, he's a big Rosh Hashiva in Bnei Brak, he told him, take this pill, gave him a prescription, tell her to take this every day and make sure to walk for 10 minutes each day and she'll be okay. That was 10 years ago. They told her she had 3 months to live. 10 years ago, she was just nifter a few months ago. That's a true story. This is when you rely, hishtadlus. We sometimes think there's no hope. And then a Kadosh Baruch Hu, he's in charge. He's in charge. It's not the doctors. We don't live from doctors. We don't live from predictions. We don't live from hearing it's impossible. We rely on a Kadosh Baruch Hu. When we put our faith and our reliance on a Kadosh Baruch Hu, amazing things can happen. This is the yesod of the Yichud Hashem. A Kadosh Baruch Hu is always intending in everything that's done for Kavod Hashem, for Kavod of the world. It's all going somewhere. Every prat, which sometimes looks like it's the opposite of what we expected, sometimes spins around and works out for us and for our good. When Yaakov Avinu met Yosef, the Pasuk says that Yosef cried. What was Yaakov doing? He was saying Kriya Shema. So there are various pshatim and farshim. Why was he saying Kriya Shema? I'm not going to say all the different pshatim. I'm suggesting one now. When Yaakov Avinu saw, he saw that his Yosef was still the same Yosef that he was before he left. He sent in the Agolus to show him, I'm still holding an Egla roof after 22 years in a jail. I'm still the same Yosef. I haven't changed. My bitachon is even stronger than it was before I left. He saw that everything worked out to now be lemichya. It's going to save Klal Yisrael and enable the whole gulf and enable the Klal Yisrael to go on. He realized and saw the Yichud Hashem. He felt that way. How could he not say Kriya Shema and be Makabel, Kadosh Baruch Hu, and Omachu Shemaim? Okay, Hebra.